Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 4th of July. And this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook. But first, a very happy 4th of July to all of our American listeners. And let's first have a quick look at what's happened here this week. Well, it's been firm with stock markets moving higher. Higher for the most part, and quite demonstrably so. We've seen in the last few weeks, in fact, a number of reconfirmations of overall upward trends by performing markets, not least the United States. And we've also seen some reasonable catch-up moves by stock markets. Now, where do they go from here overall? What's going to happen when you've got a bull market that is in its sixth year here overall for most of the world's stock markets? And where we've also had valuations rise in the United States and also some other markets. We have seen global GDP growth continue to edge ahead for the most part, but in some markets we've seen valuations go up in excess of what GDP growth would warrant. In other words, we've seen valuations rise, again, not least on Wall Street. Well, where's it going to be in 6 months' time? Now, I think the let's put it out even longer, a year or two's time. Now that's the guesswork side, and frankly, nobody really knows. But the beauty of a strong market is that it's not all that difficult to monitor. We know that when indices get overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, best viewed on weekly charts, that if they become clearly overextended, and you can see on a weekly chart, particularly if you're looking at a weekly 10-year chart, you can see how overextended the appreciating markets have become in the past before they have mean reverted to that 200-day moving average. And what to look out for is a danger sign is when you get a very big upside over acceleration. That's very exciting, very profitable, but it almost always leads to a sharp, or is followed by a sharp reaction and often lengthy ranging period. And eventually, ultimately, it can also be an indication of a very important top area. Now, my own view here is over the last few weeks is that first I was gratified to see the way support levels were reconfirmed, and every time a stock market index, which has been in a ranging phase, every time it then hits a new high and maintains that move, it is of course then reaffirming the overall upward trends. And that's the pattern that we've been seeing here for the most part for many years, and also continuing through this year. And therefore, if we have markets that are still performing consistently, clearly this bull run is not over. And that's one obvious point. And also, if the price action is still consistent, it's still in motion. In other words, nothing has taken place that was significant enough to disrupt it. And it pushes out the date of that next significant correction. And significant corrections do occur periodically. It's part of the game. But it pushes them further out into the future. So again, highly consistent performance on the upside by a number of stock markets, relative strength overall, a good monetary tailwind here generally, growth is not too strong to cause a surge in inflationary concerns or a surge in interest rates over concern over inflationary pressures. So it's still a sweet spot for investors, not least because we have extremely accommodative monetary policies, not least in the United States, in Japan, and in the Eurozone, and we don't really have tight monetary conditions in many countries. Okay. Now, in terms of the long-term outlook overall, I think that we need to think of factors first that can punctuate this overall upward trend that we're seeing. And one is the price of crude oil. I was worried about that certainly a fortnight ago as we saw Brent crude get up to the $116 level, albeit briefly. But it's come right back down. And crude oil's a little lower in here today. So Brent's back under that $111 level. I'd like to see it come down a little bit further overall. But the message is clear that despite all of the tensions that are taking place in the Middle East, we have not seen an additional significant disruption, or we have not seen an additional disruption of oil production in that region of any real significance. So that is an important factor because a spike in crude oil prices, as I've said so many times in the past, really is a game changer, and all other bets are off. when that next happens, it's usually a relatively rare occurrence, but we last saw it in 2008, as you probably recall, and it certainly contributed to the extent of that bear market that occurred. Although arguably the even more important fundamental factor was the credit crisis recession that was unfolding. So again, many investors are concerned about the extent of the bull market that we've seen and the rise in valuations, particularly that we have seen on Wall Street. And those concerns are justifiable overall, but when we weigh that up against the actual consistency and the fact that these overall upward trends are still in motion, we should also recall that the most profitable move in bull markets, usually they occur at the beginning, and also at the latter stages of bull markets. And to use that well-known expression, if a market is still in form, you know, it's time to make hay while the sun shines, especially if monetary policy is still on side. So it looks like we may have escaped a spike in crude oil prices, and hopefully that remains the case. The other factor to worry about is that growth will eventually pick up. And we have seen, for instance, in the United States, I believe we've seen 5 consecutive months of job increases of over 200,000 per month. Now, we can quibble about the quality of those jobs, but nevertheless, that is clear evidence that companies are hiring more people, and it is also clear evidence they wouldn't be doing so if they were not confident that the economy was improving at a sufficient rate for them to just be able to justify hiring additional personnel. Now, what we have also seen is interest rates push up against that background, not excessively, although we did see yesterday, the United States markets closed here today, of course, because of the 4th of July holiday, but yesterday we did see that U.S. 10-year, which had been down at and touched 2.4% late in May, when people were worrying about slow growth and deflation and possibly even the U.S. Slipping back into to recession. Now, yesterday, very briefly, that 10-year rate got close to the 2.7 level before coming back down. And it popped up that that high on the back of the on the back of the employment figures. My feeling is that we don't need to be too concerned about what interest rates are doing. And again, we can monitor those very easily. And the best guide on that, I think, is the U.S. 10-year government bond, and that closed yesterday. I think it was at 2.638%. So that's not a problem. And we also know that the Fed is not about to raise interest rates anytime soon, although a number of commentators have pointed out that with good employment figures occurring 5 months in a row and counting, that will bring forward, if that continues, that will bring forward an eventual increase in the U.S. prime rate. That's an obvious point, but I don't think that that is, I think it's pretty obvious that also from what the Fed's been saying, that that is not a short-term risk. So again, we're still in this sweet spot here. Now, what are the best markets here overall? Wall Street's done so well that I'm not sure that it will outperform here overall. My favorites, I think, on performance, well, India, which is showing phenomenal relative strength, and I think that will be maintained. And it's all to do, of course, with Narendra Modi's election victory and the fact that Indians voted for modernity. They won't always be grateful that they have done that in some instances, because there's some tough decisions being made, and he's removing some of the subsidies on goods. But in my own opinion, I think this was a fantastic thing, and I have little doubt that Narendra Modi will provide the sort of economic governance that India actually needs. So this is one of my best bets over the next 5 years. I think it'll be a top performer. Well, India is very much a developing economy, and it's a volatile market, and that's not for everyone. So what about a developed country market? And my recovery candidate of the decade, developed country market, would have to be Japan. And I think that's still on track here to be a very good performer over at least the lengthy medium term. Looking elsewhere around markets, well, I think Australia is likely to do quite well. And one of the reasons for that is that we are seeing now the recovery, the lagging recovery in the miners, and also in metal prices. Now, the miners are classically cyclical performers. They usually get very strong moves late in bull market cycles. And there are two reasons for that. One is that GDP growth is almost certainly recovering. I'm going to give three reasons for that. Then the other factor is that the miners have had to tighten their belts because they have been in a difficult period. And they've certainly been doing that by reducing some production, cutting overheads wherever they could. And the third factor is that the shares are extremely cheap. And therefore, as investors gradually become more cautious, or as they just look for new relative strength leaders, the mining sector is becoming, or already is now, a new relative strength leader. And the chart patterns for many of these companies, and Owen's been reviewing them on a regular basis, are extremely attractive. and you have a wide choice there. You can go for some of the best performers that are really big, high-yielding companies, such as BHP Billiton. And you too, at the other end of the spectrum, you can look at speculative recovery candidates in precious metal shares. But there's a lot out there of interest that's starting to come into form, and investors, again, as I say, are starting to pick these up because they are so very inexpensive. What about long-dated government bonds? Well, I've already partially covered that. I think, again, we're still in this sweet spot where growth is not too strong, where people are not too concerned about the inflation data, at least the inflation data that governments report. And therefore, that's a favorable tailwind for stock markets. I don't think bonds are a good investment here in terms of government bonds, because the yields are really too low, in my opinion, to make them interesting investments. You could very easily lose money in those markets, because again, we had this 31-year bull market, and it's reflected by falling bond yields, rising bond prices, and now we're seeing these yields bottoming out in what is predictably a lengthy process, particularly since GDP growth is still quite slow. But the next big long-term move in government bonds is going to be to see those yields increase somewhat. So it's too easy to lose money in that sector. And corporate bonds are more attractive, but they have gone down so much because a lot of money has piled into that sector that I feel there are definitely medium-term, if not short-term, risks. There are definitely medium to longer-term risks in the fixed interest sector. So personally, I feel you have a far better play in equity markets, despite the somewhat greater volatility that we will be seeing, that we all normally see in stock markets. Now, what about currency markets? Well, here we've got really the lowest volatility by far. We have a fairly stable currency market environment. I don't think there are any big worries in terms of currencies. People have worried for years about the euro, but it's held up reasonably well, probably too well as far as the European Central Bank is concerned. So a euro at 1.3593, nearly at 1.36, in other words, is probably a little bit too high in the view of Mario Draghi at the ECB, and I think he would be quite happy to see that actually move a little bit lower. So the euro is a candidate to be slightly softer than some of the other currencies. Sterling is a candidate to be slightly firmer than some of the other currencies overall. The exporters won't like a firm pound all that much. But I think the government's not at all displeased to see it here in the short term, and at a time when they're worried about high property prices in London and the south of England generally, particularly in the southeast part of the country. Okay, other currencies, the US dollar, generally soft, generally undervalued, but I'm sure that the Fed's very happy to see it trading at these levels. And I don't think we're going to have any dramatic currency swings, not among the majors, not among the reserve currencies, in other words. We may get some one-off situations as due to political developments or military developments, but again, I think overall we still live in a background of relatively stable currencies. Well, what about the hard money currencies? And that takes me to precious metals. And I think we're in an overall bullish environment here. The leader has been palladium over the last year or so, and that is continuing to push higher. And here also, platinum has been quite a good performer here recently in breaking up out of its overall range, which was near the 1500 level. It's coming back now just to test that the upper side of that range, which is a not unusual development following an upside breakout. But put it this way, there's no sign of top formation development in leading palladium or in platinum. Silver and gold have certainly lagged, but their performances have improved considerably over the last couple of months. And silver, as I speak, closed out here today at $21.20. It's up another 6 cents. And gold bullion is at $1,321.47. So these are steady here overall, and I think they remain attractive in terms of additional prospects to the upside. I also like the industrial metals, and they're being led by zinc and nickel. And I think that we will see additional gains throughout the remainder of this year. Often in the somewhat choppy moves that these commodities can produce. Again, cyclical laggards, these industrial metals, and I think they are likely to perform as well. Now, in terms of gold and silver, I don't think this is Armageddon discounting, and I never view that as a really strong reason for holding gold. If it's an Armageddon situation, you won't be able to get anywhere with your gold because it weighs too much. So I say that with a twinkle in the eye, obviously. But what I do think is that people are remembering that we live in an entirely fiat currency world, and where central banks want a little bit of inflation, which gradually erodes the purchasing power of those fiat currencies, and gold and silver remain hard money. So I like those for further medium to longer term recoveries. And what about the agricultural commodities? Well, food prices, let's just take meats first. We have shortages there in many parts of the world. It's likely to keep beef prices, for instance, higher than we would normally see. Fortunately, that's the exception rather than the rule among food prices generally. And agricultural commodities are, for the most part, in terms of staple commodities at any rate, comfortably low. I'm thinking now of corn, wheat in particular, but also soybeans. And that's good because that will help to keep inflationary pressures down. Now, again, forecasts on commodity prices are a bit of a mug's game because it's the weather factor is the huge variable with these crops. But so far, it's an environment that's favorable and is not causing any major grief as far as central banks are concerned. So not a bad picture here overall. I don't want to become more bullish, just as general wrap in here, going back to stock markets. I don't want to becoming, I'm not becoming more bullish of stock markets the higher they go. The no-brainer is that the higher they go, the closer they are to the next significant peak. But my big message here today is that they're still in form. And while we can't extrapolate that too far into the future with confidence, we can monitor it very effectively. And this is still a money-making opportunity in these global stock markets. And on that note, all the very best to all of you. Have a terrific weekend.